Greater Khalda 2. Aishivar the Warder. Though the snowy plains surrounding Lake Vassalaran were not as cold as Aishivar would have liked, she still found them pleasant. At least the snow she lay upon wasn't melting. Luckily, snow rarely melted in Abadal. Once she had seen snow melt while ranging near the northern shores during the warmest times of the year. When she was a child, her father had told her that there were places elsewhere in the world where snow vanished completely.
I would abhor such a place, Aishivar thought, digging her fingers into the lightly packed snow. No, a place without snow would be no good.
She raised her hands into the air. The white snow was stark against her smooth blue skin, a beautiful shade that matched the sky during the days where night was rare. Aishivar did have good skin, if she did say so herself. Others of the Ishari had lighter skin tones, and some were nearly a whitish blue. Still on her back, Aishivar returned her hands to the snow and closed her eyes. Playful grunts and growls carried up the snowdrift where she lay. Her pet cisterns were below her, playing with each other. Berlai, the younger of the pair, always riled up Randesan. Though he was old, Randesan did enjoy chasing Berlai around. She had raised both since they were pups. It was common for a warder of the plains to raise young cistern, and over the last 90 years, Aishivar had raised 5 pups to maturity. Berlai yipped with glee, his paws crunching the snow as he leapt back and forth. Randesan sounded as if he were lumbering toward the younger cistern. Then a resounding thwack filled the air, followed by a yelp. A whine was accented by tumbling and crunching snow, followed by a snarl.
That's enough, you two,
Aishivar shouted, then whistled a command that stilled both cisterns.
Come!
Though her eyes were still closed, she felt the two of them plop down beside her.
You two need to behave yourselves, she said, reaching toward the cisterns and stroking their snow-covered manes.
After brushing her hands through their thick coats, Aishivar opened her eyes and sat up.
And learn how to play nice.
She turned to Berlai. The young cistern had his snout to the ground, his lips downturned.
I know you get excited and want to play all the time, but you need to respect Randesan.
Aishivar patted Berlai once, then turned on the elder cistern.
And you! You need to be more patient. Lighten up a bit.
Randesan gave Aishivar a look that said, I'm too old to be scolded.
No, you're not.
Aishivar rose to her feet and stretched her arms while taking in a sweeping glance of Lake Vassalaran. It was one of the smaller lakes on Abadal, but its farthest shores were still beyond the horizon. The ice-covered lake was a mix between clear blue and white patches. Those white patches were the weakest spots on the ice and would be the first to melt if the weather became too warm. But Aishivar had never seen water rise above the ice sheet.
We would all melt if that ever occurred, she said, chuckling.
The thought of Lake Vassalaran becoming pure water was unfathomable. She hoped to never see such a sight. Berlai rose from the snow and nudged his muzzle against Aishivar's hand. She glanced to the cistern.
What?
Berlai had an apologetic look in his eye.
Don't apologize to me.
As she turned to Randesan, the older cistern shot up on all fours, nose pointed to the lake. The cistern's white irises contracted, and his tail stiffened. Aishivar spun, scanning the lake. Something gray, like a low cloud, hovered near the horizon, moving across the lake toward her.
Too small to be a cloud. What could it be?
Nothing crossed the lakes of Abadal, at least nothing that wanted to live. Lake Vassalaran, like every other body of water on Abadal, was inhabited by swarms of Vyrim, a ferocious breed of amphibious horned serpents. Sometimes growing as long as 20 Ishari standing one on top of another, Veyrim often kept below the ice sheets, only breaking through if a creature dared traverse the lake's frozen surface. Parting her lips, Aishavar hurried to her nearby pack. She rummaged through it, eventually removing her magnifier, a round, domed object that was as large as her palm. Aishavar raised the magnifier to her left eye, placing the flat side against her eyebrow and cheek. A faint tingle shot through her skin as the magnifier conformed to her face. Closing her other eye, Aishavar touched the magnifier's domed side in a triangular pattern. The entire lakeside became visible through the magnifier.
"Now what are you?"
She focused on the gray cloud and slid a finger down the magnifier's right side. The details of the lake enlarged, and the gray cloud became individual forms, winged forms. Again, she slid her finger down the magnifier. Hundreds of the winged creatures flew across the frozen lake, their dark wings beating so quickly they were a blur. Each had a tail, but no legs. Their torsos were like those of an Isharian, with a chest and arms, but their faces, those trunks, were unmistakable. Though she had never seen one, Aishavar knew they were Tulidyne, the only other sentient beings that inhabited Abadal.
"But why are they crossing the lake?"
The Tulidyne had always kept to themselves, secluded in their lone mountain at the heart of Abadal. Had something driven them from their home?
Surely their charges couldn't have broken free?
But what else would have caused them to flee? No outlander had dared cross the frozen plains in over 1,000 years. A breeze carried up the snowdrift, and Randesan began to snarl, undoubtedly in response to the Tulidyne's scent blown from across the lake. Berlai also reacted to the breeze, rumbling a displeased growl. Aishavar chuckled and continued studying the approaching Tulidyne. Of the several hundred creatures, 4 were larger than most. Though many varied in size, they were all small by comparison to the other 4.
"They're young, perhaps?"
Several of the small Tulidyne playfully fluttered toward the ice sheet, skimmed its surface, then twirled into the air in a carefree dance.
"Do they not know what's beneath them?"
Her heart quickened, and Aishavar scanned the frozen lake ahead of the Tulidyne, searching for the darkened silhouettes of Veyrims. But the lake was clear. She swiped her finger up along the magnifier, reducing its enlargement. Nothing moved beneath the ice. At least, nothing yet. Aishavar resumed her magnification and focused on the Tulidyne. The young ones continued to play dangerously close to the lake's frozen surface.
"Stay off the ice."
Her heartbeat quickened as the Tulidyne's playful flight became more and more precarious. 2 of the tiniest creatures collided with each other and tumbled onto the ice.
"They really are ignorant of the Veyrims."
Innocently unaware, the 2 Tulidyne remained on the ice and shoved each other, then fluttered into the air. Heart pounding, Aishavar searched the lake again. A dark spot appeared in the ice near where the pair had fallen. It was small, but it was growing.
"Oh no."
The flock of Tulidyne continued their approach at a casual pace, oblivious to the danger beneath them.
"This will not end well."
Aishavar reduced the magnifier's view, noting the distance between her and the Tulidyne. They weren't within earshot, not even if she shouted. But she couldn't let them become food for the Veyrim. If the Tulidyne were fleeing their home, then the Ishari elders needed to know why, even if that meant sacrificing herself. Aishavar twisted the magnifier, and it detached from her face. She grabbed her pack and shoved the magnifier inside while drawing a forearm-length rod, the dormant form of her favored weapon, a Sanayurai. She tossed the bag aside as a curved blade, the length of her forearm, materialized at one end of the Sanayurai, while a chain wove into existence from the other. Both blade and chain were made of terladium, a pale blue transparent metal the Ishari elders claimed was only found on Abadal. The chain clanged as it coiled on the ground. The weapon finished its transformation as an elongated tetrahedron materialized at the chain's end. Its 4 points were sharp spikes the length of a finger.
"Are you really doing this?" she asked herself, loosely coiling the chain so the spiked end wouldn't drag. If she went out on that ice, she might not return. But what other choice was there? Could she really stand by and watch children be consumed by a ravenous beast? Aishavar took in a deep breath and bolted down the snowdrift. Her cistherns joined her charge, loping beside her. They were trained to follow her, protect her from danger. Berlai whimpered, knowing the terror brewing beneath the frozen lake. As she neared the shore, Aishavar slid a finger along the bracelet containing her armor. Pale blue light shot from the white jewelry and upper arm. It spread across her chest, up her neck, along her other arm, and down her legs and around her feet. In an instant, the light changed, becoming thin, translucent plates of terladium armor that covered her entire body. "Hopefully I can draw the Vayrim's attention," she thought, but Vayrim rarely deviated from their prey. Once near the frozen banks, she leapt into the air. The cistern followed her lead, and the three of them landed on the ice with a thud. Aishavar steadied herself, waiting for her armor to react to the slippery ground. Thickly riveted crisscrossed patterns would form beneath the water's sabatons, enabling them to run on packed snow or even ice. Aishavar swept one foot back and forth until she heard the sabaton scraping. "Let's go!" Aishavar darted across the frozen lake. As she ran, she pressed the side of her helmet, causing the bottom of the face guard to retract. Through the rest of the guard, she could see the indistinct shapes of the fluttering Tulidyne. "Fly higher!" she shouted. "There is a monster below you!" But the Tulidyne did not change their flight. Aishavar kept shouting as she ran. She scanned the lake, but there were no dark spots around her. As she advanced, the flock of Tulidyne halted. "No!" she gritted her teeth. "Don't stop!" she cried. "Fly away from the ice!" One of the Tulidyne zipped toward her, flying at a furious pace. In one of its hands, it held an ornate rod with three prongs on its end. The Tulidyne leveled the rod at Aishavar and her cistern, violet light surrounding the rod's three prongs. "We're not the threat," Aishavar growled. "Get away from the ice!" The zipping Tulidyne halted, then lowered the rod. It ceased glowing, then the creature continued forward. A nasally noise carried across the lake, as if they were words. Was that Ilarin? Aishavar rarely spoke that tongue. "Get away from the—" Violent cracking erupted from beneath the flock of Tulidyne, then massive slabs of ice heaved into the air, followed by a flood of white water. "Oh, no!" Aishavar kept running, passing the nearest Tulidyne, as a deafening shriek pierced the air. The Vayrim shot through the breaking ice, its enormous dark blue-scaled body rising several stories, its black-shelled maw opened wide as it shot toward the flock. Panicked shrieks and nasal cries filled the air as the Tulidyne scattered. The Vayrim caught two of the winged creatures in its glistening black beak, then fell toward the ice. "No!" She had to draw the Vayrim's attention from those children. Randasan began to bark as the Vayrim slithered from the hole in the ice. The beast was as long as 30 stories were tall, larger than any other Vayrim Aishavar had seen. It was as thick as 6 Ishari standing upon one another's shoulders. The Vayrim's black shell covered the top of its head, fanning backward at a shallow angle. The shell's edge was lined with 7 sharp spikes that looked taller than Aishavar. Yelling as loudly as she could, Aishavar bounded toward the beast, uncoiling her weapon's chain, wrapped around the translucent vambrace. Once the chain was free, Aishavar swung the Sanayuri's spiked end, slamming it into the ice. She repeatedly swung the chain as she ran, hoping the noise would lure the beast away from the young Tulidynes. A violet beam shot over her head and toward the Vayrim, striking the creature's shell. The blast eroded the shell's outer layer, but nothing more. More beams shot from the dispersing flock, drawing enraged cries from the Vayrim. The beast ignored the young and sped across the ice and toward one of the larger Tulidyne. It reared its head to strike, but the winged creature soared into the sky. Shrieking, the Vayrim turned, moving straight for the Tulidyne near Aishavar. "Come to me!" she shouted, slamming the spiked tetrahedron into the ice. Both her cisterns barked repeatedly.
There was hesitation in Berlai's bark, but Randesan's tone was fierce. The Vavrim glanced to Aishavar and her cisterns, but veered toward the Tuladine behind her. Yelling with fury, Aishavar turned, and her cistern followed. She ran in a path ready to intercept the Vavrim. If she were to stop the beast, she would have to climb atop its back.
Closer, she thought, counting the distance between her and the approaching Vavrim.
They were 30 paces away when Aishavar threw the chain. The spiked end of her Sana Yirai sailed through the air. The Vavrim shot past Aishavar, but the spiked tetrahedron struck the creature's dark blue scales. The chain jerked, yanking her across the ice. She lost her footing and fell forward, but held tight to the chain. More violet beams shot overhead, some striking the Vavrim, while others blasted the ice. The Vavrim raced toward the Tuladon, but the winged creature flew into the air like the other. At least the adults knew how to keep their distance. Aishavar struggled to her feet as the Vavrim spun. The beast stopped slithering and glared at her.
Finally,
she sighed and pressed the side of her helmet, causing the face guard to reform. Aishavar yanked the chain from the end of her Sana Yirai, and the spiked tetrahedron liquefied. Its matter zipped along the chain, reforming on the end nearest her hand. The Vavrim shrieked as it dove toward her, beak gaping. Aishavar bolted toward her foe, blade ready and chain swinging. Violet beams zipped overhead, striking the Vavrim. The beast squealed and jerked as the beams partially disintegrated its scales and shell.
Don't turn, she thought, eyeing the monster's palate.
She had to get close enough to anchor her chain in the Vavrim's mouth. Only then could she swing up behind the shell and strike the death blow.
Eat me,
she cried, leaping to meet the Vavrim's approaching maw. A pained squeal surrounded Aishavar as she landed in the beast's mouth. The Vavrim clamped down, but Aishavar slammed her spiked tetrahedron into the beast's palate while slicing her blade across its tongue. Another pained cry washed around her as the Vavrim opened its mouth. Both Aishavar and the chain fell from the creature's maw. With ease, Aishavar grabbed the chain's end, wrapping it around her vambrace. She swayed as the Vavrim reeled. More violet blasts struck the beast, and it writhed. Aishavar kicked her feet in time with the creature's pained sways. Soon, she arced through the air and landed on the Vavrim's black shell. But before she could regain her footing, she was knocked off. The Vavrim sped across the ice as Aishavar swung back and forth. Her cisterns tried to attack the Vavrim, but the beast was too fast for Berlai and Randesan. Aishavar threw herself sideways, hoping to redirect her sway. The Vavrim turned, negating her efforts.
Great!
More blasts struck the Vavrim, causing it to halt. It violently reared back and shook its head. The jolt sent Aishavar spinning down and around the spikes of the Vavrim's shell.
Yes!
She cheered, aiming to anchor her blade in the beast's neck. Metal struck scale, and Aishavar jolted. The Vavrim screamed, and Aishavar dangled for a moment, then landed against the back of the beast's neck. The Vavrim writhed as Aishavar stabbed her way to the base of the shell. Soon she reached the vulnerable spot and shoved her Sana Yirai's blade through the scales. An anguished howl shot across the frozen lake, followed by a thud that knocked Aishavar from the monster's back. The Vavrim twitched as Aishavar fell upon the ice. The howl faded into a waning groan, and the Vavrim stilled. Taking a deep breath, Aishavar pushed herself up and scanned the sky. Only 3 of the large Tuladine were in the air. The rest of the flock hovered not far from where Aishavar had been lounging. Those nasal sounds filled the air again, and Aishavar spun toward them. One of the Tuladine fluttered toward her, its rod lowered. The winged creature raised its trunk, aiming its strange lips at Aishavar. It said something that she didn't understand. Aishavar touched the side of her helmet and the bottom of her face guard retracted.
My Ilarin is lacking.
The Tuladine nodded as the other two hovered beside Aishavar.
I wish to thank you,
the Tuladine said in Aishavar's native tongue, in that nasally voice.
I am Ozakazanidas.
You're welcome,
Aishavar said, then gestured across the lake.
But we really should move.
The 3 Tuladine eyed one another, then sped toward the shore. Once they left, Bralai and Randasan loped around the dead Vairim.
"Go back to the snowdrift,"
Aishavar said, pointing after the Tulidine. Bralai didn't hesitate, but Randasan bowed his head. Aishavar had trained him to bow whenever she wanted to ride him.
"I have to get the rest of my Sena Yorai,"
she pointed to the corpse. Randasan kept his head bowed.
"Stay here, then."
After retrieving her blade, Aishavar climbed atop her faithful cistern. She held tight to Randasan's coat as he bolted across the frozen lake, watching for any dark spots lurking beneath them. Crying and murmuring filled the air as Aishavar and Randasan cleared the ice. Ozai Kazanidas fluttered to Aishavar as she dismounted.
"Again, I wish to thank you. We are in your debt."
"I don't believe in debts,"
Aishavar said, and the three other large Tulidine fluttered to a halt beside her.
"Strange," said one of the Tulidine.
Ozai Kazanidas nodded, trunk bouncing.
"I do not want to seem as if I am taking advantage of your philosophy, but do you know the quickest route to Varkilis?"
"Varkilis?" Aishavar raised an eyebrow. "Why would a flock of Tulidine head for the Isharian capital?"
"I don't remember the way very well," Ozai Kazanidas said. "It has been too long."
"The capital is to the north,"
Aishavar said, pointing in the direction of the city. Varkilis was a 2-week journey on foot.
"Could you show us?"
another Tulidine asked, voice higher pitched than Ozai Kazanidas. Did that mean Ozai Kazanidas was male? Aishavar nodded.
"Of course. But why are you going to Varkilis?"
Each of the larger Tulidine bowed their heads and clasped their hands. Eventually, Ozai Kazanidas spoke.
"Invaders came. Human. And Lish Kisha."
She started. Outlanders? Penetrating the heart of Abadal? The notion sickened her.
"They came twice,"
Ozai Kazanidas continued.
"At first we repulsed them, but this time they managed to decimate us. Amid the battle we fled our roost, taking as many young as we could. The others, well, we are the last of the Tulidine."
Aishavar blinked in disbelief. It could not be a coincidence that the invaders came twice. No, they had deliberately sought the Tulidine and their charges. But to what end? The possibilities sent a shiver down her spine. Another Tulidine spoke in a voice deeper than Ozai Kazanidas.
"We must inform the guardians of what transpired."
Aishavar nodded.
"I will take you to Varkilis."
With that, Aishavar pushed past the Tulidine and marched up the snowdrift. As a warder of the plains, it was her duty to prevent outlanders from penetrating the heart of Abadal. Had she and her fellow warders become too lax in their duties? No human had stepped foot on Abadal's snow in over 1,000 years. Now they had come twice, and with the most abominable creatures.
"Never again," she vowed. "I will live my life on the plains if I must, but never will I permit an outlander access to this blessed land."